bond of peace. Now, one of the first things to know about this passage and really about the book of Ephesians is that Paul is writing to a group of people that he knows very well. For if we were to look back in Acts 18 to 20, we would see that Paul visited Ephesus a multitude of times. The first time he was there was when he went with Priscilla and Aquila and then left them to begin to help establish the church. He often had Timothy, young Timothy, traveling with him, and he eventually became the pastor of that young church. And so the books 1 and 2 Timothy are written to Timothy as he's pastoring the church in Ephesus. So Paul writes this letter. He's writing it to those in whom he has personally invested. He writes with a deep affection, even though at the exact same time there's still a sense of urgency in his tone. He's concerned that the church in Ephesus not give in to the temptation to remain in the infancy of their faith, but rather to do the work and be committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, deepening their faith, growing in their love for one another, and serving as God has called and gifted them to serve. It's a message that is just as relevant and true for the church today. It's a message that we all live lives that are worthy of our calling. By worthy, Paul is painting a picture of a set of old-fashioned scales, that our lives lived for Christ are weighed against his call on our lives. This is a calling we all have received, just as Heather just mentioned a second ago, not just the leaders of the church, and it's a tall order. Did you hear those words? Be completely humble, not just a little bit humble, and gentle, patient, bearing with each other, in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Notice Paul speaks of unity, not uniformity. We are to be united in our love for one another, in our commitment to Jesus Christ and his work in the world. Yet we have different gifts. We have different ways of serving. We have different ideas and opinions. But we're called to be united in a common mission and vision. That's all one side of the scale. On the other side of the scale is the calling we've received from God to bear witness to the one who is the light of the world. Paul then describes this faith that we hold in 7 key principles. So I'm going to move on into verses 4 through 10. Paul says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe." 7 times Paul mentions one, and 4 times Paul refers to all. One is the foundation of our faith for all of us. One for all. One body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. One for all. God is the Father of all, over all, through all, in all. And to drive home the truth of who Christ is, Paul goes to Psalm 68, a psalm of victory over enemies, to show the foreshadowing of the Messiah who would ascend back from whence he came. And if he was ascending, then it makes sense that he first had to descend. He came to us. He came to earth, taking captive his enemies by conquering the grave, by rescuing us from sin and death. And then he ascended back into the heavens, sending gifts to his people through the promised Holy Spirit so we can serve the one who is for us all. And those gifts would not be the same, but would empower the followers of Jesus to live into their individual calls, which, when united together, would serve our common call to make Jesus known. That's the other side of the scale. There's how we live our lives weighed against the call we each have as followers of Christ. Paul lists some of these individual calls in verse 11 and then unpacks the reason for these particular calls. Listen to what Paul says in verses 11 through 13. So Christ gave himself the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Jesus Christ himself has called some to be apostles, people who are sent for a particular purpose. Prophets, people who speak truth into current life and culture. Evangelists, people who live out the story of the gospel in such winsome ways that they draw others to Christ. Pastors and teachers, people who shepherd, teach, and train the people in their care. Jesus calls different ones into these roles and gifts them for those calls for one common purpose, to equip those people for service. The ministry of the church belongs to all members of the body, the church of which Christ is the head. The church, every church, may have one or two or several pastors, but every church has dozens, hundreds, even thousands of ministers. All of us who call Jesus Lord are to put our hands in the middle and together call out our allegiance to the one who has saved us. Now, John is not here to do all of the ministry to keep the doors of Windham Presbyterian open and services available to the community. He's here to equip you, the men and women and young people who call this church home, for the ministry of which God has gifted you and to which God is calling you. Now, some of you may have already noticed, even in the short 2.5 months that John has been here, that if you come by and ask him to work on something or change something, or even worse, to not change something, he may have replied, "That's not my decision." And then he may have referred you to a committee, an elder, or the session. It's not that he doesn't want to make a decision. John's a high J on the Myers-Briggs, if you know what that means. He likes making decisions. It's not that he's lazy and doesn't want to do the work himself. I think you'll soon learn John Siders is anything but lazy. In actual fact, he's doing what he's called to do. He's equipping you, the people of the church, to do the ministry of the church. He is your pastor, but you are all together the ministers of the church. That is our common call as followers of Christ. To answer this call, we must have a faith that is deep and growing, for the religious climate of our culture today is ever increasingly more like the days when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, a pluralistic society with multiple gods and belief systems that make it difficult to discern the truth of who the one true God is. Now, if you doubt that, just reflect on the season we just celebrated, the cursory nod to the real meaning of Christmas amid the sales, the parties, the decorations, the messages in the advertising. And this cultural shift has been gradually growing on us since the 50s and 60s. In 1965, over 50 years ago, the marketers and media moguls were already trying to remove Christ from Christmas. When Charles Schulz was consulting with the producers of A Charlie Brown Christmas, which was on the first Wednesday of every December on TV, for those of us that had to wait every year for it, they wanted him to drop the section that contained Linus's speech on stage when he recites the birth narrative from Luke 2. Not only did Schulz refuse to drop that scene, he chose to communicate a subtle but clear message in one of the most poignant moments of the film. Did you ever notice that when Linus reaches the section where the angels said to the shepherds, "Fear not," he dropped his blanket. For the first time in Peanuts history, Linus lets go of his security blanket. "Fear not," He doesn't pick it up until he finishes the recitation, walks over, and says, "That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." Charles Schulz lived his life worthy of the calling which he had received. He had been equipped for service. His ministry was to make Jesus known using his gifts as a cartoonist to the glory of God. He was doing his part to be all for the one. And he made a lasting difference. Paul knew that if the followers of Jesus Christ were going to make a lasting difference in the culture of the first century, then the church needed to be united in its commitment to stand together in love, united in their diversity, united in their different gifts and calls, united to be all in for the one who was the way, the truth, and the life. Now look at these final verses of 14 through 16. Paul says, Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Friends, there are men and women and young people being tossed about by false teaching and conflicting messages, by the climate of constant comparisons in social media, of overachievement, consumerism, and individualism, and this has left them feeling confused, unsatisfied, lonely, exhausted, and hopeless. Many have forgotten or perhaps never even heard what Christmas, let alone what Christ, is all about. When the church has a place, what the church has to offer is a place to belong, where questions can be asked, where doubts can be expressed, where truth can be taught, where faith can be fostered, and where life can find its balance. Windham Presbyterian Church can be a place of healing for those who are hurting, a place of home for those who are lonely, a place of acceptance for those who feel left out, a place of truth and love for those who are wandering alone, wondering what to believe and who can they trust. But only as we each commit to live our lives worthy of the call that God has placed on us, and then being equipped for service so we can be all for the one who is Jesus Christ, one Lord, one Spirit, one God. So it's time to make a difference in the church and in the community and in the world. They need the message we have. Will you do your part? Will you put your hand in? One for all, and all for one. Thanks be to God. Amen.